You're listening to Hop Behind Kitchen Confessionals. Hop Behind Kitchen Confessionals is the podcast where we dive into the nitty, gritty, pretty, and shitty side of working in the restaurant industry. If you've ever worked back of house, front of house, tended bar, or have eaten at a restaurant and want to know what really goes on behind the scenes, you've come to the right spot. From the salacious to the serious, join Sarah and Desiree for stories each week from both sides of the house. And now, your hosts, Sarah Elgin and Desiree Bowles. I'm your host, Sarah.
I'm Desiree.
And we're back with 2021. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. It's so interesting saying Happy New Year in February, but that's how it's been. Like, the last few weeks, I've been saying it to people getting back at work.
So oh, yeah.
They look at me weird for a second. They're like, oh, wait, we haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
So, Happy New Year.
Yeah, exactly, right? I know, it's like, how was your Christmas? How was your New Year? And they're like, that was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. You're like, yeah, no, but how was it?
Yeah, right? I haven't seen you. I'm curious and I want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was good, actually. It was really quiet. Jeff and I went over to our brother's in-laws and hung out, actually, for a little while. And then we went over to Grandma's house. We went to Grandma's house the day before. So this was all on like New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, we actually just hung out. My mom came over and we made breakfast and watched movies and just hung out. We didn't really do presents, which was cool. You know, well, we weren't supposed to do presents. My mom actually, she did spoil us. She got us a freaking Roomba. Yeah, it was.
That little guy is a game changer.
Oh my gosh! I always was like, oh, I'd like to have one. Like, it would be cool if we could have one. But I was like, oh, there's no way I'm ever gonna get one. And then, And we, like I said, we said no presents for Christmas. And then Christmas comes around, and my mom's like, oh, I got stuff for the dogs. And we're like, oh, that's cool. It's for the dogs. That's fine. And then she's like, oh, what? I got you something else. And then she got us the Roomba. And I'm like, oh my god, that thing works. She goes every single day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's so awesome. It's so cool. It's nice to not, because we have the two dogs, it's nice to not have to have to vacuum up after them every day. Because either we're vacuuming or we are sweeping every single day. And it drives me nuts. I hate to sweep.
Yeah, totally.
You know? How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was nice. It was quiet. I did see my parents, so that was kind of awesome. And just hung out for a little while and came back home and did our thing. Yeah. It was definitely the weirdest Christmas that we've ever had. You know, COVID's been so strange, but it definitely makes you thankful for what you do have. So that was kind of cool.
I agree. It was weird because of COVID, so like everybody couldn't get together and everyone was in like small groups, but it was nice because it meant a little bit more, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it totally did. That time together, really, it meant a lot, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Super cool that we actually got to do it and got to see everybody, and everybody in my family is happy and healthy right now, which is awesome.
Yeah,
so.
Same here.
Yeah.
How about your New Year? How was that?
That was like pretty much the same as always for us because we are old people and do not go out for New Year's, and I don't do anything for New Year's either. It is always a struggle trying to get my husband to stay awake until midnight so I can get my New Year's kiss.
Right.
but we did it and stayed up and said goodbye to 2020 and hello to 2021 right at midnight and then promptly went to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, we actually, you know what is funny is like, we always try to have like a New Year's tradition. I mean, we've had it for years, and I think this was the first year we didn't do it. Whereas, like, we always have In-N-Out and champagne for New Year's. But this year we were like, oh yeah, like we love our little tradition. And then this year we ended up, because the lines at In-N-Out, one, have been horrendous lately. And
they
two,
have been so bad. It,
because
yeah.
everybody wants to go to In-N-Out, and I don't blame them. Like, I really don't.
Right.
You know, so we ended up making jambalaya, and then I made, what else did I make? I made jambalaya and some other New Orleans foods. I can't remember everything we did. It was freaking a month ago, I guess, now.
Right? Seriously.
But our friends Jake and Annie came over, and she always makes lumpia every time she comes over. So, oh my God.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, it was so good. So she brought that over, and then our friend Steve came over, and we all just kind of hung out and just... We played some games and brought in the new year, and it was really kind of like a quiet night. But it was nice to have a couple people over, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that we mentioned, this episode is going to sound a little different.
Yes. So. Yeah, if it sounds weird and echoey, it's, we are doing our first, like, over the air call, so we're experimenting, but it's going to get better over time. But we really missed you guys, and we wanted to get back and try an episode and see what we could do.
Yeah, definitely. So we're doing it over the phone today. We're trying to experiment with like Instagram video chat, and we're going to figure out something to where we can get you more episodes more often.
Absolutely.
So hopefully this works. Let us know how it sounds, and it will sound better in the future, like Sarah said, getting there, figured out. We just really wanted to get one out right now.
We did. We've been talking about it for so long, and, like, we've both been in a funk with, like, COVID and everything, and just, like, lots of things have happened over the few months or that we've been off the air, so it's been hard to get back on air, but we've been, like, itching to get, like, an episode out, so... but if you know of, like, any programs, too, that, like, you would suggest that are, like, that you know of, like, hey, throw them our way. Like, we're, like I said, it's all a big experiment for us. I mean, we work yeah. in a restaurant, guys.
Definitely. Please do.
Right?
Speaking of... Where did we leave off?
Actually, I was going to ask you. Well, we left off on New Year's, which we were both telling them to talk about New Year's. But I was going to ask you... Because you're talking about lockdown, did you, like, do anything, like, did you do anything during that time, or, I mean?
It's different. The first lockdown that we had, I did a sourdough starter. I know we talked about it in one of the earlier episodes, our first episode, actually. And some of those things. The second lockdown, this one, so my last day of work was December 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back to work at like the very end of January.
Yeah.
We went back to work now for like a week and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 weeks. I think 2 weekends.
This is the second weekend.
Like yeah, about 2 weeks we've been back to work. This lockdown was a lot harder for me. I did not do shit. I moped a lot. It was really hard to lose my job right before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. This time was just a lot harder. But what was interesting was that I did a lot of, like, introspection and a lot of thinking. And I know that sounds kind of lame, but I really got to think about, like, what was important to me and what I'd like to do with my future. And I did not come to very solid conclusions, but I felt good about it.
That's good.
I also started exercising for the first time since high school, which was... more years than I would like to say on the air ago. But I've been exercising again. We got a water rower. So
oh, nice.
That's kind of weird, but fun and really, really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a water rower to me seems like a really easy workout that doesn't take much effort, but like does a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like as much as like we have a gym, I won't lie, we've got a gym that has an elliptical and a whole bunch of other things that I haven't used in a while, and I should use it a lot more often than I do, but The rower seems like such an easy exercise.
Yeah. It's really fun because it's low impact. And so, like, for us service industry people, like, it's really easy on your joints. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm not good at running, you know, but mm-hmm. my body starts hurting really quickly. And so this is like you're sitting down. I mean, it kicks my ass really hard. And I am sweating profusely by the end of it. And my muscles all ache and things. But it's like a good, it's not hard to start.
Right.
And, like, the cool thing about it being a water rower is that it's like I'm the one who is in charge of like the resistance and how hard it is to do. Instead of like with the machines, it's like you set the machine difficulty level and whatever that is, you yeah. have to kind of go with it. So this one, at least if I'm like going too hard and I need to slow down, I can do that. And I mean, the sound of the water is therapeutic. It sounds so lame, but it really, really is. It's super cool.
Oh no, so. Dude. I mean, the sound of water in general is therapeutic. I don't care if you're standing next to, like, a little trickling creek or, like, yeah. the waterfall. Like, there's something about the sound of water that is just so therapeutic to the mind. Like, I remember when I was a kid, we went camping with my mom. She took us whitewater rafting when we were, like, I was 12, Josh was 9. We were kids and we went to this campsite and we literally like camped next to this site that was right next to like a big waterfall, which if, you know, now you think about it, you're like, well, we were really close. Like not like within 50 feet, but probably like a couple, like 100 yards or whatever. But closer than that. But anyhow, it was pretty cool. Like that night was like, I just remember hearing those falls and it was super therapeutic. So I totally understand how like that would be therapeutic, especially doing it on the while you're exercising.
Yeah, super awesome. So that was really like the most positive part that has come out of lockdown for me is getting the water rower and like getting back into that, and it's done wonders for my mental health, which has been amazing.
Oh, so that's good.
That's been awesome. Yeah, how about you? How was your lockdown?
It was good. I started doing like a little side business, which I was really stoked on, just trying to get like myself some extra income and like just mm-hmm. kind of keep my mind busy. And then really just kind of have been working on the house. We're trying to get out of California as soon as possible. So we've been working on the house, trying to get it put back together and hanging out with the dogs, you know what I mean? Like, really didn't do much because, we only have, like, the one car situation right now, which is cool, but, so I don't, like, drive anywhere, which is nice. So it's all just been basically staying at home and trying to work on the house and work on myself. So, honestly, like, if we didn't have to go back to work, I would not have been bummed because I've actually been, like, really been enjoying like my time off because I have been so productive. I couldn't bake or do anything like that because we're in the process of getting a new stove. Like we're like changing out the stove. And so it was nice because I couldn't bake this much. So I didn't exercise, but I didn't gain like the weight that I did last time from like all of the baking that we did.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I mean, I was experimenting with that focaccia bread like every week. I was like, I'm going to make focaccia bread.
So. Right. and that focaccia bread, amazing. Right. So I wouldn't have blamed you if you had it every day.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, but then they gave us the call and they said they were coming back. And again, I was kind of like, I mean, torn. I mean, it's hard to want to come back to work after you've been off for 6 weeks. But at the same time, it's nice to come back and, like, be in the real world and be around people for once again, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely both. I was not stoked to have to come back because of the fact that, you know, nobody really wants to work. But at the same time, being around people has been really nice and getting to see all of our coworkers and regulars and just people. It's been nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's been so nice. Like, and it's cool because not everybody came back on the same day. So it's kind of like this really cool, like, staggering effect of like, oh my God, I haven't seen you. And oh my gosh, I haven't seen you. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you. And
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right?
Like, it's weird, but it's super cool.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah, so being back at work, that's been interesting.
No joke. Like, it has been insane.
Yeah.
People have been so, I don't know, there's something in the water. I mean, I know people wanted to get out, but like, I think people have been locked up for so long, they forgot like how to interact with people.
Oh, 100%. 100%. The first weekend back, so it wasn't this weekend, but it was the weekend before that, and we were so busy. Oh my goodness. Like, it's hard being off of work for 2 months and then coming back and getting your ass handed to you immediately. Like, everybody's ready to, like, order as much food as they possibly can and all the cocktails that they can, which was nice, but I'm so glad I started working out because it helped a tiny bit with my arms and all of the freaking cocktails that I've been shaking.
Yep.
holy moly. Super insane. So that first weekend was actually all right. Like, I feel like people were so excited to be back out.
Yep.
We were on a crazy wait all weekend.
Yeah.
People were waiting like an hour, you know, which for our restaurant is not super normal for people to wait that long.
Right.
We can usually turn tables. Well, not turn tables. I don't mean to say that because we're not that type of a restaurant where we're turning tables quickly. But we don't normally have like giant waits unless it's Friday and Saturday night. And so like all weekend we did, during the day we did everything.
Oh yeah. Even during this week, I mean, this past weekend too was like that too, where it was like,
oof,
constant. I mean, I've never made so many desserts. I mean, I know I said it the last time, but
yeah,
it's again,
right?
That's like the one thing I think that people are like, I am not making this at home. I'm just going to wait until, because creme brulees are just flying off the shelf right now.
Seriously. I made them, people don't
want to
make at home.
Exactly. I made them 3 times this weekend. We sold out that many times and I'm like, just stop, people. Stop with the creme brulee. I mean, they're delicious. I won't lie. I love creme brulees, so.
They're so good. They're my favorite.
They really are.
But I know what you mean. It's hard.
Yeah.
The first weekend, I felt like people were a lot nicer because they were so excited to get out. And then as the week has gone on, last week and then this past weekend, people are a little less nice. A little less generous.
Yeah.
With their tipping, a little less, what's the word?
Couth?
Understanding.
Yeah.
They've been more demanding and more picky, and it's just been so strange, like just the night and day difference. Because, like you said, I mean, we were just as busy this past weekend as we were the weekend before.
Yep.
And oh my God, but it started changing. People are just a little back to normal.
Yeah, right.
Sort of way.
No, I know what you mean. Dude, I won't lie. I'm kind of scared for this next weekend. Like, I am so not happy. Like, I think we've expressed this in our last episode or one of the last ones where I'm like, Valentine's Day and Mother's Day are like two of the holidays where I dread, like, you know.
Yes.
And the thing is like, it's this weekend and it's not just like, it's not a weekday. Like, Valentine's Day, don't get me wrong. Like, Valentine's Day, whatever. Like, on a weekday, cool. You're going to get twice as much business on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, which really isn't much.
Yeah.
But it's on a Sunday this year. So, like,
so
people going on Friday,
on
Saturday, Sunday. And then apparently there's something going on Monday because they're, like, expecting us to be busy on Monday. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about. I don't want to be busy on Monday. Like,
no,
that's my whole week.
Relaxed day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've all been talking about it this week on the line. Like, I was talking to one of the guys and he's like, dude, like, we're all coming in at 7:00, and that's like my start time as a supervisor. And I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna get in there at 6:00 because I can't be there like at the same, because I have to, you know, I still gotta do all my stuff. I gotta get shit put away and all that stuff. And it's nice to be able to
started.
Oh, dude, get my prep list started, get everything done. And I like doing it before everyone gets there. So, like, when everyone comes in, like, they come into a hot kitchen. Like, I like like that's my one thing is when people walk into the when I open, they come into a hot kitchen, so they're up, everything's ready to go. They've got water ready to go, ovens are ready to go, everything's ready to get their line started, and then I'll get a pot of coffee going for everyone coming in, and like
always the best.
Dude, like, I mean, because, like, you want to come into that. Like, no one wants to come into a cold kitchen. You got to wait for whatever, you know. And if I have time, after I put my orders away, if I have time, like, I really like to set up everyone's station. Because I know how, especially, like, if I know who's working on which station, I know how they like it set up.
So,
you know what I mean? So, like, I'll be like, oh, like, so-and-so likes it, like, this here and this here, but they know where everything goes kind of thing. So, that's one thing about like, one thing that's going to suck about this next week is I'm going to have to get up a little bit earlier.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I know what you mean. That's how I'm feeling that way. Also, I help supervise. So I'm opening on this weekend before my bartending shift. So I'm coming in and doing books and office stuff beforehand. I don't have to be there nearly as early as you. I start at 8, so at least there's that. But
yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're already booked pretty solidly, which we always are. But I'm so curious to see how it goes with all outdoor dining this year.
It is going to be like, very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I hope that people are cool, but I every year I hope that, you know, it's like every single year you're like, please let this one be the one that like everybody's chill. But in reality, all of us service industry folks know that Valentine's Day and like Mother's Day, any of these major holiday weekends are amateur hour.
It is.
So all the people who are not used to coming out to eat come out this weekend.
It's no joke, the newest couples, because, like, you and I can attest to it. And I know it's not just because, like, we work in the service industry, but, like, like you've been with your Jeff for, what, 19 years this year?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I've been with my Jeff for 18 years this year. And, like, the last Valentine's Day that we, like, really did anything was maybe our second year, but, like, I still have, like, I mean... Like, he spoiled me. Like, I had, like, 10 pounds of chocolate, which, unfortunately, I didn't get, didn't get much of any because, like, my family was taking all of it. But whatever, that's okay. But I still have, like, the teddy bear that he got me, like, when we first met, like, our first Valentine's Day. So, like, but that's, like, my travel bear. Like, anytime I go anywhere, especially when I fly, that bear is with me. But... But, you know, we're kind of sweet like that. But, But other than that, like, I think the Valentine's Day after that, we may have done, may have gone to dinner. And then it was like, well, you don't really need to celebrate Valentine's Day. It's kind of, like you said, it's amateur hour. It's like, we just started dating. We've got to do something big, you know, kind of thing. And,
yeah.
I mean, some people might really like that holiday and good for you. That's cool. It's just,
yeah.
It's a little too like pink for me.
More for you? Yeah, I it's too... I'm not a Valentine's Day fan at all. And I never have been. Like, I don't know if it's because I've been working in restaurants since I was 16.
Probably is.
I've been doing it, like, but I do not like Valentine's Day. I think it is a bullshit holiday.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not that I'm just anti-romance, because I'm not. I don't feel that way, but I really... really don't like the holiday. It's such a Hallmark commercial holiday, and it's hard. It's a hard weekend to work in a restaurant.
And I agree with you on that. Like, it is definitely a commercialized, like, holiday where it's like, you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to do this. Like, I'm sorry. You can go buy a dozen roses 3 weeks before, and it's going to be $12. And you go buy a dozen roses on Valentine's Day weekend, it's going to be like $100. I don't know, but I'm guessing $100 for it here. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. But I know what you mean. The sentiment is there for sure.
Exactly. And it's like, I remember one year I made Jeff a Valentine's Day card just because I would rather like make stuff because, I mean,
yeah,
most times stuff that I want isn't on the market. But I had like, It was like, it was literally like a zombie kind of like Valentine's Day card. Like,
oh,
you know what I mean? Aww. And it was like something like that. But yeah, no, like I agree. Like, I think I'm sure working in the industry has definitely sullied that,
yeah,
fantasy of new, of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's cute too, because every year my husband is always like, are you sure you don't want anything for Valentine's Day? And I'm like, yes, I'm fucking sure. I'm 120% sure. Like, our anniversary is a month after Valentine's Day anyways, and I'm like, let's do something fun then, on a day that actually means something to me. So.
Yeah, exactly right.
Plus, I'm always working Valentine's Day weekend, so even if I wanted to do something, I would just be too tired.
Yeah,
irritated to do anything.
You can rub my feet when I get off of work, if that's, right, if that's what you want to do.
That's probably the best kind of romance right there.
It really is. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, I feel so lucky. Like, if I get my feet rubbed, I'm like, oh my God, this is like the epitome of like life right now. Because like,
yes,
work, like I've said it time and time again, when I get off of work, especially after a long shift, I don't just want to take my shoes off. I want to take my feet off.
Yes, exactly. Just take your feet off altogether and put them off to the side.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how bad they are.
It's like the, remember the Return to Oz when she changes her head?
Oh yeah.
It'd be like that, but changing your feet. Like, okay, I'm gonna have a new pair of feet this week.
Yep, exactly. That was one thing that I really was like, I had forgotten about both lockdowns. The first weekend back to work, I forgot how hard it is on my body. And I had, like, I, you know, said 700 times today. I've been working out, so it's like my body was a little bit less out of shape than normal. And that first weekend, it was, I think, it was last Saturday. I got home and I was like, oh my God, I want to fucking die right now. I would like to go to sleep for a week and a half because my body is so sore. I don't know.
100%, 1,000,000% on page with you, because like, I got home and I was like, I know I have not been sedentary. Like, I have been moving, I've been grooving, like, I've been walking. Like, I actually, because, okay, so, like, the last lockdown, I was jammy pants 24/7. Like, I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to my jammy pants. Like, I don't have to go to work. Okay, jammy pants every day. And when you have jammy pants and baking together, like,
Oh man,
your self-confidence is cool. And then, like, you look back on pictures and you're like, wow, like, I should not have had that combination.
Right?
Like, I was so bummed that I had done it to myself. And I remember talking to you and you were like, oh, no, I put on pants every day. And I'm like, well... Mine are jammy pants, but they're not pants. So this lockdown, I made an effort, no joke. It was like every single day, I'm like, putting on pants. I don't care if it's my purple pants or my striped pants or whatever. But I made sure I put pants with buttons on and zippers, because I'm like, if these suckers start getting out of control... gonna play this game anymore. And like I said, if it I'm glad my stove was not working, because between that and like I like to cook, so. But
oh, totally, that's awesome. I feel you 100%.
Right? Oh man, so I don't even know how we got onto that segment of like pants and zippers, but Valentine's, right. I think it was like Valentine's Day, but that's what you're saying. You were segueing into the, or talking, I'm not segueing. You were just talking about how we were like being on our feet all day long. That has been one thing where every day, like, I'm so glad that we have the Jeep, because I'll like sit in the back of the Jeep with the hatch open and just sit there for like 20 minutes and let my feet rest before I start driving.
Yes, totally. Oh man.
Yeah.
I wish I had a Jeep. Because
of that. Oh man, it's nice. Like one of the guys from work was like the other day. He was like, "I saw you sitting back there." I'm like, "Dude, I couldn't move. I hobbled to the car, to the Jeep right now as it is. Like, I didn't want to go anywhere as it is." So,
right.
Oh man, it was. Like I said, I'm not looking forward to Valentine's Day, honestly, and not even because of anything else. I mean, sushi's one thing you can kind of, you know, get yourself ahead of things with, like, slicing up fish before you have to put it on, you know, the day of kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, I am not looking forward to Valentine's Day for the desserts alone.
Yeah, seriously, you are going to be slammed making desserts.
Like, I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, I just had to make creme brulees all weekend. Like, I'm going to have to make triple time that this next weekend.
Totally. We do this like 3-course menu mm-hmm. at our restaurant, and so at least on the one hand you'll kind of get an idea of the restaurant or the kind of desserts that people are going to be getting, but still that doesn't really make up for it that much because you're still going to be making a ton of them.
Exactly.
And just because we have that dessert menu does not mean people are going to be ordering off of it.
Right, yeah, exactly. They're like, well, that's not really what I want. I want something more on this side of things. You're like, motherfucker, just order the goddamn dessert that we've
got. We're doing something. Yeah, exactly. This year we're doing something with the with cocktails. So we're going to have like a special cocktail that weekend. And it's one that we already make, and it's not like a muddled drink, which thankfully they saw that and realized that that wouldn't be a great idea.
Yeah.
So it's nice, but I definitely still have some prep work to do because we, you know, we hand squeeze all of our juices in our restaurant and make all of our syrups by hand and stuff. So I'm going to have some things to do.
Yeah, right. Because you know everyone's going to want a cocktail. And the thing is like, honestly, the one I feel bad for, you know, the one station I feel bad for the most? The oyster station.
Oh man, seriously. That people hear oysters and think aphrodisiac.
Yep.
And like, yeah, there's a lot of zinc in them that definitely, what is it? It like increases semen production. So cool.
Yeah.
but people are going to be all over oysters.
It is so wild.
Right. Oh my god. And their hands are gonna freeze.
Dude, not only your hands are going to freeze, but your wrist starts feeling like an 18-year-old boy. Like a 12-year-old boy. Like, your wrist. I am telling you, man. Like, it hurts so bad because you're just like, oh, my God. I got to shuck another goddamn dozen of fucking oysters. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like, I love oysters. Oysters are my jam. If I don't have to shuck them, I'm going to suck them. Like, I love oysters, dude. Like, I am not kidding.
Yeah.
But, like, Valentine's Day and oysters are like, ugh. I don't know if this came.
Oh, man. Seriously. I hadn't even thought about it. I feel bad for those boys right now.
Right.
Thinking about what they've got to do this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know, like I said, I keep thinking about, like, prep lists that when I have to go back on Thursday and I'm like, I don't want to play this game. Like, I don't, like, I just want to stay home now.
Yeah. Right. Seriously.
It's wild what 2020 did to my brain because it was like, oh, you can take time off. And like, and I don't, whether or not there was unemployment or not, I think I still would have enjoyed the time off because after as long as we've both been in the industry, it's one of those things where it's like, some people are like, oh, no, I got to go back to work. And you're like, no.
Yeah,
I've seen the light, man. Like,
I'm good now.
I'm good.
I was actually thinking about that a couple days ago. I was like, it's so funny when we started this podcast, like we were talking about how like there's literally no other industry I'd rather work in. I could never see myself doing anything different. And then 2020 happened and all that time that we had off and then the different scenarios that we had to adapt to. And I'm like,
100%.
Holy fuck, is this really what I want to do?
Like, right? Well, it's true because, like, and, like, because people, like, I don't know, like, we were saying earlier, like, people just have become assholes. Like, we knew. Don't, let's not get wrong. we knew people were assholes to begin with when you come to the restaurant because really it's like, oh God, my ex stepdad used to do it where he'd like snap at like,
oh, I hate that.
Oh, we got in a huge argument over that. But people are like that now where they're even worse, where they're like, they're so demanding. And it's like the social media aspect of it has made it so much worse because people will spend like 5 minutes taking a picture of their food and then they'll send it back and be like, it's cold. You're like, asshole, you've had it on your table for 15 minutes.
Right? It wasn't cold when we gave it to you. We
didn't know you were giving it a fucking photo shoot today. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
It's
totally.
Like the way things have changed. So for me, like I really couldn't see myself doing anything else. But like now I'm like, there are so many other options where I'm like, well, I could do this and like, I'll still make some money.
Right?
So
seriously, like I think that like certain people are suited for certain jobs. I mean, that's not like this profound thing that I've just come up with, but like, I feel like my personality, I am suited for customer service.
Right,
I
absolutely.
Feel like I've been doing it long enough. I can totally do it. But I'm like, do I also want to like serve people while I'm doing it?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's
right.
Definitely given me some like time to think about that and if that's something that I'm going to continue.
Exactly.
But
well,
for now.
And it's like, it's because like you do have that. Like when you work in a restaurant, you have that camaraderie and you have that family feeling of people, but you don't, it's like, that's what's nice to go back to. But then when you have to deal with the actual public who forget like how it is to just talk to a human being in general. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I get it at the grocery store or like if I'm out and about in general, like people have kind of forgotten how it is to like interact with the human race, which is just astounding in general, but like,
yeah,
you know, like I don't know, like I just feel like when it comes to when people go out to a restaurant, they expect so much more from somebody than you know what I mean, like they kind of treat them like you have to do everything I say or I'm gonna complain in an instant.
Definitely. There's like no grace for that sort of thing.
No.
People are just immediately upset. And I get it. You're spending your money, you know, and we're in a pandemic right now, so money is hard to come by. A lot of people have lost their jobs, but so have we.
Right.
And now we're back. So it's like, if you're going to come out and spend your money, think about all the aspects. You're not just supporting your local business. You're also supporting your local service workers.
Exactly.
You know, like I get paid minimum wage. So if you're not tipping me, I'm not making good money, and I'm not able to pay my bills, and I cannot further, you know, support the economy. And I am super into supporting my local economy.
Exactly.
Like, I like going to the local mom-and-pop shops and things like that. And it's like, if you're not tipping me well because you're worried about your money, then I cannot, in turn, help that.
Yep.
And so it's just frustrating. It's like that sort of mindset, you know?
Yep.
Like, I get it. You want your best bang for your buck, but you got to think about all the aspects of the situation.
Exactly.
And I feel like that has been lost lately.
It really has been because people just think like, oh, well, I'm spending X amount of dollars, but they forget that X amount of dollars isn't just the food. It's everything that goes into it. It's what you do. It's what I do. It's what our bosses do just to keep us afloat. You know what I mean? And then people with one little thing goes wrong, or one little thing isn't, not even goes wrong, but isn't to their specific liking. And I'm sorry, like, y'all, we're all different. Like, we are not all cut from the same cloth. So people need to just realize, like you said, you're just trying to make a living. Like, you know, people bitch that they have to wear the masks, and we all complain about it, but it's like, hey, this is things we've got to do to keep our business afloat, you know? People complain about having to spend X amount of dollars on something, but it's like, well, you were spending it before. You just, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. People have people have forgotten, like I said before, people have kind of, I feel like that people have kind of forgotten how to interact with others in this past year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All the time, the stay in place order, the lockdown, the quarantine, whatever your specific situation is, like, I mean, people have come out kind of bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all that time with yourself, you know? Which is kind of sad, because then you start thinking about, like, if you're projecting your feelings this way at me, like, how are you thinking about yourself?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know if that's what's happening, but I can only imagine if you're being that shitty to other people, like, how shitty are you to yourself right now?
Right.
Or maybe you're not being shitty to yourself, and you're thinking you're better. I don't know. I have no idea.
But still, just, people, you know, it does, because people are, you know, people could be like, well, shit's going wrong with me, like, I'm just gonna, I don't know. It's just so weird. The whole situation that we're in is just, it's unprecedented for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And it's like we were saying, it's just, you know, everyone's different. And I just wish like if you're going to come out to eat, like, it's not just a big deal for the person going out to eat. The people who are going to work, because remember, like, we still have to deal with, we're still interacting with the public every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like,
exactly.
You know, so whether, you know, you're coming in for just to pick up an order, or you're coming in to dine in on an outdoor patio, like, you're still interacting with us on a personal basis, and we might be the one person, whereas you might, that you're interacting with, but whereas you might be the 30th person that we're interacting with that same day.
Yeah.
And then when these people are just kind of like coming in going, well, my shit don't stink, and I'm going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, people just want to be jerks to you for no reason. And it's like, well, I'm sorry that you're having a bad day.
Uh-huh.
We all kind of have it, but you don't have to bring it out on me when you're coming out for the one time that you're coming out on during this whole lockdown.
Right, exactly. It's been an adventure, that's for sure.
But hopefully, you know, like, everyone will start kind of being nice again and just realizing, like, you know, like, we might not all be in the same ship, but we're all in the same ocean.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone.
I'm thinking that it'll probably even out soon.
I hope so.
I mean, I guess I'm just hoping so.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But.
Totally.
I don't know. Anyhow. I don't know. Like, it's just been weird.
Yeah, it definitely has been. But. We actually got some fun confessionals from you guys.
Yes, we did.
It's been like 2 months since our last episode, which, again, we apologize for that. Like, it's been tough, you know, trying to get together.
Trying to get together.
Read some confessional things?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and read some confessionals. Okay, so you want me to go ahead and start on this one?
Yeah, totally. I'm going to read the first one.
Okay.
This is from somebody named Danny K. He writes, or they write, I guess. I don't know what everyone's problem is now, but customers have been so fucking rude with this whole COVID-19 bullshit. I was serving a table outside when my mask came down just past my nose. No one at my table said anything, and then a few minutes later, my manager came over to tell me that another table on the other side of the patio complained that my face was uncovered and demanded her lunch be paid for because we were being irresponsible for her health. She didn't pay for Karen's lunch, but she did get a dessert. Why are people such assholes?
Dude.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, I have to admit that it is a pet peeve of mine when the mask comes down, but sometimes you can't help it. You're talking a lot, and it comes down. And as, like, I see servers, if their mask comes down, they always pull it right back up. And
absolutely,
it's not down for long.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. Mistakes happen. To demand that you're getting a free lunch, like, that's so fucking rude.
Seriously,
if you're that upset about it, please don't eat out. Please don't.
Right.
Please get your food to go. you know, take it home.
Yeah.
Like, order takeout. Take it home. And then don't worry about that sort of thing. Because, yep. honestly...
There's nothing wrong with coming, with supporting a restaurant and going out just to pick it up to go. Like, DoorDash and all the, or whatever, you know, all those, like, to-go orders, granted, they get, like, a percentage from it. But, like, if you're just ordering from the restaurant, just pick up and go. There's nothing, there's no harm. You're not hurting yourself. You don't have to worry about your health. And that's fine. Like, but like you said, like, mistakes happen. Like, you can't fault the server for, like, if they're talking and their mask comes below their nose. Like, it happens, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you're pulling it right back up anyways. It's just, and that's the other thing with that sort of thing. Your mask falls down. You're not supposed to touch your mask.
Okay.
So maybe the mask fell and maybe that person went inside, fixed their mask, and then washed their hands. I mean, you don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Like, you're not supposed to touch them.
Right.
So if it falls, it's an accident and it's going to be taken care of.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. That is so frustrating, though. So frustrating to hear.
Oh, I hate that. So, well, hopefully, like, Danny, like, whatever happens, like, you didn't get in trouble. Like, hopefully your manager is cool and, like, understood.
I hope not.
Because that, right? Because that would suck.
Yeah. That's so fucking lame.
Ugh. So our next confession is from Anonymous. I live in Florida, and all of our restaurants have been open, and I've been lucky enough to continue working as an executive chef. I'm sorry you guys have been out of work for so long. Have you ever thought about doing anything else, or even better, moving out of California? Desi?
So I'm a California girl through and through, and I'm probably never moving. I was actually born in Texas, but I'm probably never leaving California. I like it here. I know there's a lot of issues that people have, and I get it. You're going to leave, then go for it. But it's just something that I'm going to deal with, the actual state itself. But thinking about doing something else, like, I have absolutely thought about it. I've been considering going back to school. But I don't know, like, we've talked about it in this episode already, like, it's so hard because, like, this industry is just one of those things, it's like we've always thought about being in it, you know,
yep.
and then 2020 happens with the pandemic, and now I'm starting to consider something else. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I would do. Like, how do I go to a job interview for something else and be like, oh, okay, so yeah, what have you been doing for the last 20 years? I've been bartending.
Right.
What makes you qualified for this job?
Customer service.
I can deal with a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I could make you a mean martini. So, please hire.
You're hired.
Like, it's really hard to think about. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've been considering another industry, and it's just been such a difficult thing thinking about trying to make the jump.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. Like, trying to transition from something you've been doing for so long that's been so part of your, like, it's in your lifeblood. Like you said, I can't imagine myself doing anything else other than just staying at home and being mom. Like, that's, like, the one thing I can only see myself doing, because, like, I love going to work and being a chef. Like, I know it is hard work. It's don't get me wrong. It is not an easy life. I wouldn't. I don't think it's made for a lot of people. And I'm not saying I'm anything special, but it's hard because there's a lot of criticism and a lot of, like, you know, long nights and short days and, like, hardly any days off kind of thing. But, like, I don't know, like, I have ideas of what I could do outside of being just a chef and working for someone else. Like, to be honest, like, my goal in life is to have a bed and breakfast with Jeff and I and run it and go from there. Like, and that's the second part, I guess, of that question is, hell yes, I want to move out of California. Like, I'm born and raised in California, but, like, I've been in other parts of the country, and California is not the dream state it is for me as it is for everybody else, which is cool. Like, everybody has their own deal, but I do not see myself living here in California forever, because, like, A, work, but I don't, like I said, I want to do my own thing on my own, have my own bed and breakfast, but yeah, like California is definitely not where I want to stay, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. Hopefully you'll be able to do something soon.
Oh yeah, no, totally working on that plan. It is in the works, and stay tuned for more updates on that.
Our next one is from somebody named Brittany L. Hi, Desiree and Sarah. I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brittany.
You don't know how much it means to hear that. It means so much. I have told all of my friends to listen since it's so much fun and informative. Thank you.
Yeah, right? I'm glad we're informative.
Thank you, Brittany. I was wondering, aside from cooking and bartending, what do you like most about working in a restaurant?
Ooh.
Do you want to go first, Sarah?
The camaraderie. Like,
honestly, that is the best part. The camaraderie.
I think the camaraderie and like being part of a family that's not blood or even like when you first meet friendship, because there are plenty of people I've met and I'm like, I don't know about this person. And then you're like, you meet him, you're like, holy shit, we're like best friends forever kind of people. So like, I absolutely love the camaraderie about working in a kitchen, because like, there's something about working 12 hours with somebody and then going to a bar and shooting pool and like, winning $5 off the loser. That's fantastic, right? You know? Or like, or even the fact that like, you can go to work and somebody, you have known somebody for so long that like, just their demeanor, you know something is up and you can talk to them and like, help them through a situation that might be going through, like with hardly any words spoken. Like there's something about working in a restaurant where it's just the rawest emotions that are put upon the table, because people, when you work in a restaurant, your emotions are high. Like you've got guests that are demanding something. You've got food that needs to be run. You've got a drink that needs to be taken care of. You've got, there's so many elements of this dance that need to be put together. And like, it's, if you don't have that camaraderie with people, like things can go wrong so quickly. But it's like, okay, like I might be in the weeds with this, but I know that this dude is gonna take care of me, because he knows that like I might not be at my best tonight because something might be going on and my brain might be malfunctioning, where it's like in another state of mind, like I'm thinking about something else, and somebody else in your circle be like, oh dude, I got you, like I've, you know, and they take care of you. And it might not be that, it just might be because you're fucking thinking of something else, but it's really like one of those things where like, that is one of the things I can say from the beginning of my experience of working in a restaurant that I have loved the most, is the camaraderie of the kitchen, that everyone gets together and hangs out and you've got your back no matter how much I might dislike you.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Like, there is such a, just that attitude in the kitchen, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like that, like, in the bar, there's only a few of us, and we're very similar in that way, where it's like everybody just has everybody else's back. I mean, of course, like, we're making money together, and so the more teamwork there is, the better chances at us making more money, but it's different. There's just sort of a, like a familial vibe. So it's really interesting. I really love meeting people and talking to different people.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Funny because I'm very, on some hands, I'm very, very introverted. I really don't go out very often. I don't do that. But when I'm at work, I love hearing stories and I love talking to people. It's so interesting the kinds of things. People will open up to you and tell you all kinds of shit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's fascinating. It's almost like, just getting, it's like your own reality TV show, just listening to it and seeing it, and the conversations you overhear and the conversations you're a part of and the people you meet, you know, whether you're serving them or working with them. It's fascinating.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, 100%. Okay, so our next one is from Anonymous, and Anonymous says, "Hi, Desiree. You said in an early episode that you are allergic to alcohol. How are you able to be a bartender?"
That's thanks for asking. Yeah. So it's the sulfur, mostly, that I'm allergic to in alcohol. And I can touch it all I want. I mean, I'm sure if I was, like, soaking my hand in some vodka, it probably wouldn't be a good thing.
Please don't do that.
As long as I'm not drinking it, I'm fine. I've been drunk maybe 3 times in my life. No, I don't even think that many. Twice in my life. And I got sick, like, so bad for a couple times. Thinking that it was normal, because it's like you hear people like, oh yes, getting sick is part of getting drunk.
Right.
Getting sick for 3 days and getting hives all over your neck and body and stuff is not normal.
No.
And it's, yeah, so like I used to try and like I sip alcohol and stuff, but I can't do it. It makes me too sick. So I really do enjoy making cocktails for people though and making creations.
Right.
My brother, my family in general is allergic, but my brother will do this thing where he'll stay away from preservatives for about a week, anything that has preservatives in it, and then on the weekend he's able to have a cocktail or two, and he'll be okay. He mostly just gets like the Asian flush, the red face and everything, and then but he can be okay with that.
Yeah.
I really, really do not enjoy being sick though, like the nausea.
Right. Oh yeah, no.
I can't do it. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, like I'm not willing to push through, just in case. So.
Yeah, no.
Huge fan of non-alcoholic drinks though.
Right. I like to drink, but I'll get the hangovers, and I'm like, I'm the same way. Like I don't like the nausea of the hangover. Like I can deal with a headache, like whatever. I deal with headaches all the time, but. Nausea is a whole other ball game. You know what I mean?
I'm also super, super allergic to metal.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm allergic to surgical steel. And I got blood poisoning the last time I had a minor surgery. So it's one of those things, like, I'm still touching metal objects all the time as long as I'm not keeping my hands on them too long. And it's kind of similar with alcohol, I guess. Like, I just can't, it can't be in my body.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, kind of weird. But thanks for asking. Like,
yeah, thank you.
Random.
That was a good. That was a cool question, actually.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
Thank you, for wondering.
Right.
So our next question is from Annie S, and Annie asks a question for Sarah. She says, "Hi, Sarah. I'm 17, and I want to be a chef someday, and I want to go to culinary school. What school do you think is the best? Did you go to culinary school?"
Annie. Okay, so yes, I went to culinary school. Don't go to culinary school. I wish that somebody at one point in my career of my lifetime of wanting to be a chef, which wasn't long before I decided, but I wish I had talked to people before. Don't go to school to be a culinary, to be a chef. You can literally learn everything you need to do when you work on the line. Like work in a restaurant, start as a dishwasher or a prep cook and work your way up, and you're going to learn so many tips, so many tricks. You're going to learn, you don't have to pay the kinds of money that unfortunately I have had to pay to go to culinary school. You can learn like tips and tricks, but you can also just ask someone like me who's been through it. You know what I mean? Like, ask, you know, who's been through it, and we can tell you, because a lot of the things you're going to learn right there at work. So, Annie, if you want to be a chef, like, I encourage you to like start, you know, get your foot in the door. And it doesn't have to be a fancy restaurant. It doesn't have to be anything like that. Just, you know, get in there and learn, because that's part of the industry. Like I've been at it for 16 years and I am still learning every day. Like there's not a day that goes by that like someone has taught me something new or I've learned a new technique to make things go by faster or made things more efficient. So if you are thinking about going to culinary school, you know, I guess I would say like look into like your local schools, like your local like community colleges and stuff, because I know they offer some kind of culinary program, and then just study for like your serve save and get like, you know, get certified to where you know what you're going, you know, you're doing, whether it as far as like sanitation and cooking and all of that stuff. And that's mostly just to get you certified to work kind of like anywhere in the U.S. But yeah, don't go to culinary school. Don't waste your time. You can learn it like just doing it by doing it, because that's where it's all at, is getting your hands on, getting your hands dirty, and getting into the pro and getting into it yourself.
Yeah. Totally. That's a good answer. It's interesting. I get asked pretty often if I ever went to bartending school, and if everything I've ever heard about bartending school is that it's kind of a joke, and I apologize if y'all have like gone to bartending school and really feel like it's a boon to your career. That's cool. Like, I know that in some counties and states, like, you have to in order to be a bartender, but luckily I did not have to, and I actually started bartending before I turned 21 by just being a bar back and learning from bartenders who were veterans. So it's kind of similar in that way. Obviously, bartending school does not cost near the amount that culinary school does. It is not a 4-year program or a 2-year program. Bartending school is like a couple of months long. But still, like, all they do, as far as I'm aware, and everything that I've been heard, is like teach you some basic recipes and like right. how to free pour or how to pour from a jigger or whatever, and all that you learn on the job. So similarly,
you know what, one of the things that actually had convinced me to go to culinary school, that was a lie, I will tell you, was they were like, oh, we're gonna teach you bartending. And in my thought process, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna learn to be a chef and be a bartender all in one shot. Like, I was stoked on that. And like,
yeah,
granted, I got like a wine, like, sip on this, and if you're under 21, you have to spit this shit out. And I was like, yeah, I don't spit, so I'm gonna drink this shit down, y'all. And, but I was like, no, I paid for this alcohol. I don't care how young I am, this is going down.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No, you're good. Butterfingers over here today. I don't know what my fucking problem is. I'm like, coffee everywhere. I got my water. I'm like,
it's all going down today.
Horrible.
But yeah, no, like, seriously, like, that is like why, like, I'm not kidding you. When I went to culinary school, that was the nail in the coffin for me. I was like, you're going to learn to bartend. I'm like, fucking yeah. Yeah. I don't need to know the chocolate. I don't need to know how to shape chocolate. That's not something I want to do.
Right?
But I enjoy a drink or five. So I'm going to.
Yeah.
Like, I want, you know what I mean? Like, I want to learn how to bartend. And then I got to culinary school and they were like, this is a wine sipping course. I'm like, I don't want to play this game anymore. So, but yeah,
totally.
So Annie, my advice is don't go to culinary school. Talk to your local chef, start in a restaurant, start as a dishwasher, start as a prep cook, start low on the line and work your way up, because honestly, that is the bet. You are going to get the best advice you can from people who have been in it and know what's going on, and they're not going to charge you. They're just going to be like, don't do what I did. Yeah.
It's so interesting, like, just different people's, like, experiences with it, but I, most of the experiences I've heard, echo yours, so.
Yeah, and it's true, because, like, you learn a lot from, like, just experiencing it, you know, like, I'm sure that's a lot for a lot of industries too, is like, you don't know what you're getting into until you actually get into it. But until you experience like a table of 10 on brunch who want 12 different types of eggs, like you really don't know what you're getting into, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Man. So like, okay. So we were talking about, Valentine's Day. If you live in Colorado, I do want to tell, anybody who's living in Colorado or the surrounding areas. So I've told you about Jesse, right, Des?
Mm-hmm. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jesse and I have been friends for like, I think it's been 20, well, we won't mention the exact date, but it's been over 20 years that Jesse and I have been friends and like best friends to the core. And she is actually like, when I tell you I'm not a baker, I'm not kidding when it comes to Jesse, because like she is a baker. She knows her shit, man. Like every time I see a birthday cake that she's made for a customer, or she's made for like her family or friends, like I know that her niece is turning 2 this month, I believe. And she's having a 2 wild like theme. So it's, you know, like all animals and stuff. And I know she's a really good decorator, so I'm super stoked to see what she's going to do for her niece. But anyhow, so if you live in Colorado and you're looking for like some really cool sweets or desserts, whether it's for Valentine's Day coming up, she does chocolate bombs, she does cakes, she does cupcakes, she does everything. Check out Sweet Home Sweets CO, at Sweet Home Sweets CO. She's in Colorado. She's in Littleton. At Sweet Home Sweets, she's in Littleton, Colorado. So if you know the area if you're around that area, give her, a heads up, like say hi, let her know what's going on. She can do anything, man. She can make, I think I've shown you some of her pictures, like.
Her Instagram page is real beautiful. She's got like gorgeous looking desserts. They look delicious.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Like I
absolutely check her out.
Check her out. I wish I lived closer. So, because I'd be ordering from her all the time. So check her out, at Sweet Home Sweets CO. She is in Littleton, Colorado. And like I said, she makes some really awesome sweets. She actually isn't in the industry like we are, Des, but she actually does like nurse stuff on the side. Like she does like,
nice.
Yeah, she does like x-ray. She's an x-ray tech on this, like that's her biz, but literally like she could stop doing that and just do Sweet Home Sweets. Like she's that good. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I did want to say, you guys, we have said it before, when you work in a restaurant, you become family. You know, when things happen in life, you have a birthday, your friend's having a baby, someone that you work with, you know, they're having a big celebration, we celebrate. And when someone loses someone, you know, we grieve for them, we're there for them. If it's a parent or a friend or family, we're there for them. And sometimes it happens to one of us, when you work with someone for a long time, things happen and time goes by so fast, I guess you don't really realize like how fast time has gone by. sometimes you lose people that are close to you, and they you might work with them. A week before we came back to work, we unfortunately had that experience where we lost someone that we had been, that we had worked with for a long time. Like, you had worked with Ernesto, who unfortunately is now gone, but you had worked with him since, what, 2009?
2007. I've known him for,
for 13 years. And that's tough. Like, we were all coming back, getting ready to come back to work, and then right before we weren't even getting ready to come back to work.
No, we hadn't gotten the word yet. It was actually a couple of days before we found out we were coming back to work. We found out that he very suddenly and very tragically passed away. Yeah. And it's tough. It's really hard. It's hard to lose somebody. It's hard to lose somebody who's a friend and a coworker, because, like Sarah said, they become family. Mm-hmm. And it has been intensely hard. He was an amazing guy. He was the kind of person that would light up a room, and he always had a joke in his pocket, he always had a story to tell, and he had a funny video to show you, and he was there to help with teamwork and get done so we could all leave together, and no one had to stay late.
Yep.
We all left at the same time. You know, he would do extra side work, and he would sometimes pay other people to do his side work for him.
Absolutely. Oh, no.
That was part of the charm.
And I'd even work front of house, and I saw that, and I'd be like, oh, no, he's, you know.
He's paying. Again, to get his silverware done. It's been really hard. But, you know, he was amazing, and we just kind of wanted to dedicate this episode to him and his memory, and obviously give all of our love to everybody affected by this immense loss, but also, you know, to kind of celebrate the life that he had, and mm-hmm. the fact that everybody has a good story about him and a fun story about him speaks volumes to who he was as a person and who he will continue to be in our memory. So,
absolutely.
We miss you, Ernesto.
To you, Ernesto, like,
oh, man.
Dude, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to end that on a sad note.
No, it's
all right.
It's you know, it's part of life. It's part of what we do. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. We're so glad to finally get an episode out. Hopefully you're going to be hearing more of us soon. Apologizing again, just in case this episode sounded a little weird in terms of production quality, but we're working on it, and we're going to figure something out, I promise, and it's going to sound amazing soon.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. We are glad to have you guys with us again. We're glad to be back, and like Desi said, it's our sound quality is going to get better. We'll be there. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. Hot Behind Kitchen Confessionals is produced by Sarah Elgin.
Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.
Remember, you're a part of this podcast too. Leave us a voice message on the Anchor FM app and we'll play it on the show.
Or you can send us a kitchen confessional on our website and we'll read it back to you on the air so you don't have to.
And please, don't forget to review us on Apple Podcasts.
You can find this podcast on Instagram at hot.behind.podcast or at hotbehindpodcast.com.
Look forward to hearing from you.
Catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
Oh, look at this.
We got it.
We do.